Good morning. It's the 20th of November. Our first reading for the day is Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book once again. The chapter in Nehemiah tells us of a great assembly of the people. Brother Michael writes this. The assembly is reminiscent of the infant nation as it gathered under the brooding slopes of Mount Sinai to hear the voice of God himself. The whole nation was involved, women as well as men, and all that could hear with understanding, presumably meaning the older children. Just the sort of gathering that might be expected today in a congregation of believers meeting to listen to God's word being explained. They met on the first day of the seventh month, which in the law was set aside as a day of solemn rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation, as we read in Leviticus 23. In the religious calendar, the seventh month was one of great activity. It commenced with the sounding of trumpets, leading through the Day of Atonement on the 10th day to the week-long Feast of Tabernacles, starting on the 15th day. There could hardly be a more appropriate month for a revitalized people to make renewed resolutions, and the anticipation and excitement of the people is almost palpable. Their reverence for God's word is a great example to us when we see how little it is regarded by the modern world. As soon as the book of the law was opened, all the people stood. Ezra and his companions were elevated above the general congregation, not out of pride or for personal prestige, but so that the word itself could be magnified and its message clearly heard. The response of the people as the book was opened continued as they heard its message. Their identification with its teaching was indicated by their saying, "Amen, Amen," with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord. What an encouragement this must have been to Nehemiah, and especially to Ezra, whose life had been bound up in study and possibly also in codifying and editing the law. Yet the people's response was obviously closely related to the way the word was presented. It was a holy law, presented in a holy and dignified manner, and there are important lessons here for us in an age when attitudes get yearly more casual. Ezra and his helpers read the words clearly and distinctly. There was no possibility of the congregation mishearing or misunderstanding what was read. But additionally, explanatory comments were made on the text to ensure that the message and its relevance for the hearers was apparent. The effect of the people's hearing the word of God in this unambiguous way was amazing. They realized immediately how sinful they were in comparison with God's holiness, and they wept out loud. Ezra and Nehemiah had to remind them of the significance of the special day on which they were meeting to hear these words. "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This was an important comment. The law's requirements for sacrifice and for the feast days had regularly been misinterpreted by the people. They were variously seen as burdens breaking into the pattern of daily life, or as opportunities for self-indulgence and excess. Here, the two leaders reminded the people of one of the fundamental principles of the law, that it encourages men and women to respond thankfully to God and to remember others who are not so well blessed, them for whom nothing is prepared. The exhortation, I would suggest, is self-evident. Thank you for listening to me.